Well, friends, we come this morning to this prophecy of Isaiah 42. And maybe there are some people here this morning who are not so familiar with the book of Isaiah. And as I was reading this chapter, you may be wondering, well, what is all this about? What is this prophet talking about? So let me just for a very brief moment to tell you what this entire chapter is about. It's all about the most important thing in the world, which is how we can be saved, how we can come safely to heaven. Now, the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, the Hebrew part of the Bible, it looks forward to the coming of Jesus Christ who would die, to the coming of the Messiah. So the prophecies are about His coming, and they have been prophesying it hundreds of times. This is who He is. This is what He will do. This is how He will be born. This is how He would die. Even earlier on in this prophecy. And remember, this is written 700 years before the coming of Jesus Christ. It said that He would not be defending Himself. He would not be speaking words for Himself in His own defense. It says in verse 2, He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause His voice to be heard in the streets. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and He would keep silent, people remembered. Some of His disciples remembered. And when the Gospels are being written, Matthew tells us this is why. This He did so that this word might be fulfilled. And so on. So that's the Old Testament, looking to the coming Jesus Christ who would be our Savior. And then the New Testament is all about what Christ has done, looking behind, looking before, and explains the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this first part of this chapter, chapter 42 of Isaiah, all the way down to verse 18, the prophet here is talking about the coming of Christ. And we know from the language, "Behold my servant," he begins. That's a description of Jesus Christ. He's the servant of God. He's come as a servant to save us, to die for us, who has loved us, and He came to bring salvation to us. So there's the Lord Jesus Christ right at the beginning, up to verse 18. Showing that He is that light that comes into a dark world. He is the light who comes and causes people who are blind spiritually to see. And so on. He's come to bring salvation to the nations. And when the phrase Gentiles is used, it means the nations in general. All around. Not the Jews. So that's the first 18 verses or so. But then after that, we didn't read the rest, but it's then speaking about the Jewish nation who are still blind. When Jesus Christ came, they didn't realize, they rejected Him. They were looking for a king. They were looking for someone powerful who would come to remove the Roman powers over their heads. And so that is the second part. But then, you think about it, what the Lord says. He says, He speaks in verse 18, "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see." God's speaking to the nations, and describing the people in general in the world as being deaf and as being blind, and they must be given sight, they must hear. This is what the Lord is saying. What is that telling you? It is telling you and me that the nations do not have any idea how to be saved, how to be right with God. Maybe some of you have seen the Stonehenge just in Wiltshire, just outside of Salisbury. Well, the people put them up centuries and centuries ago. And did they have any idea of the spiritual things? Did they have any idea of how to be right with God? They lived and died without that knowledge, making up their own gods out of their own mind. And it was for us that Christ came to show us the way, to show us the way of salvation. Who is God? Who is His Son? Who are we? What's the purpose of being in this world? What's the purpose of being alive? And when Jesus Christ came as a light into a dark world, He came with His gospel, that means the good news, glad tidings. He began to preach and teach, and people were being converted. He had some of His disciples who also did the same. And this message of salvation has gone through the world, and it is continuing to be preached throughout the world. And God sends out His preachers. And what transformation this message has brought in dark countries and in dark homes. This morning, I want us to think of the words of verse 16. That the Lord says this, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. In other words, what is God saying? God is saying, I am going to take a message to the whole of mankind which will utterly change their lives. God doesn't do a surface work. God doesn't just reform certain things and change certain things and fix certain things. He transforms it completely. He changes entire lives. So I want to take a little time to think about the words that we have and apply it to our lives. What is God saying here? Now the first point I have is this, that God speaks about our spiritual state, which is, He says we are spiritually blind. God says here in verse 16, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Now there are, as you know, there are two kinds of blindness. One is blindness of the body, blindness of these physical eyes, and the other blindness is the blindness of the soul. We would talk to somebody and say, well, you're blind. You don't see, you don't understand this point. But there's this spiritual blindness, we could call. And the Bible speaks about people being born spiritually blind. We are not born knowing who God really is or who is His Son. We are not born like that. The Bible speaks about being ignorant of God by nature. Ignorant of how to arrive safely to heaven by nature. Let me prove it. Three great questions people never want to ask. Or when they ask, when they philosophize, they don't come up with any answers. People don't really ask themselves, but it is a good thing to ask. Where did I come from? Where did we come from? People don't know. Maybe we are just an evolved ape. Or some big explosion happened, some great bang happened. How can a great bang, great explosion bring about laws, order? It often, well, not often, always it brings chaos. They say, well, I don't know. They don't know where they came from, how they came into being. And people generally, they don't inquire about these things. They don't ask these questions really. That's the first question. The second question is, what's life all about? Do you know what's life all about? People don't know. You ask them, what's life all about? You ask people on the street, you go outside and you ask somebody on the street, friend, I want to ask you this question. Can you help me with this? Why are we living in this world? What's the point of it all? They don't know. But they say, well, we just found ourselves here. Like a spider that falls from the ceiling, just finds itself on the ground, that's it. They think that's how we're just here. That's it. That's all that matters, that I'm here. The Bible says that we are here to glorify God. God has created us. We know our source, our origin. God has made us. We are here to prepare ourselves for meeting God, to arriving in the eternity. We are to prepare ourselves for death. The prophet says, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared? Am I prepared? How can I be prepared? And the third question is, where are we going? Where are we going? If you don't know the way of eternal life and the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we are going to what the Bible calls the outer darkness forever. So that's what God means when he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. People don't know how to get to heaven. So, because they're spiritually blind, God tells them, I am going to show them. I will show them. Has God shown you the way of salvation? And the way that he shows them is with this book. The Bible shows us the way of salvation, the gospel, the truth about who Jesus Christ is. He shows us here in this inspired and infallible and blessed book how we can be saved, saved from sin, to have the answers for the main questions of life, ultimate questions, as someone puts it. There is no other way. There is no other knowledge in the world that compares with this gospel knowledge to know God, to have peace with him. Well, says God, they don't know it. And you might say, well, I don't know it. And God knows that you don't know. But God says, I will show them. I will send my son, and before him, I will send my prophets to them. They will tell about how my son will die for sinners, and how I will pardon sinners on the account of my son's death, that he will take their sins, he will be punished instead of them, and anyone who trusts in him will be saved. And I will give them this knowledge, those who humble themselves and repent and believe. The way that we do not know, God shows. Let me tell you, a real story, a true story. Years and years ago, there was a very clever man called Mr. Horn in Scotland. And this man, he is a very clever man, not a Christian. He had no interest in the Bible, no interest in Christian things, no interest about heaven, anything like that. He thought, well, this is me, this is my life. I am just flesh and bone, and I'm just really an advanced animal, and I don't have any really purpose. I just want to learn and go to university. And he was a very educated man, and he didn't appreciate at all Christian things and the Bible. But one day he was walking along down the street, looking for something. And he saw a cottage, a little house. And outside of that cottage was this little girl. And this little girl had a Bible. She was reading this Bible. And he sort of mockingly laughed to himself and chuckled to himself. Look at this girl with this Bible. She knows nothing. And so he said, I'll just stop and have a word with her. And says, what are you reading? To this little girl. What are you doing? So the girl said, oh, please, sir, I'm reading the Bible. And what's that going to do for you? He asked. And she said, well, sir, because my dear mother is a believer, she's a Christian, and she loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and she loves this Bible. And this Bible, the Word of God, has led us and guided us and shown us the way and has helped us throughout our lives. And I love reading it too. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that it's sunshine outside, I want to come outside and read the Bible. This man began to think. Until that day, he never had seen somebody who loved the Bible, who spoke personally about loving Jesus Christ. You don't love someone that you do not know. You don't say, well, which one of you who would say, I love William Shakespeare? Would you say, you might say, well, I love his writing, maybe. But you don't personally know that individual. You love people that you know. And this girl had come to love the Lord Jesus Christ. So this began to eat away at him. Until this day, he had not been thinking about these things. He had been just laughing it off, laughing at Christians. And what happened? As he walked, God was convicting him. How can this man love Jesus Christ? And I don't know who he is. I don't know this Bible at all. And he went home later. He got a Bible. And he did the things that he hated to do before, and sought the Lord later and was converted. You see, this man had no understanding of the gospel, had no understanding of the Bible. He wasn't looking for God, and yet God found him and led him the way that he did not know. That's what we are talking about. Now, why is it that we don't know God? The reason is because of the state of our hearts. You see, it's not only that we don't know God, but naturally we don't want to know Him. Let me tell you one thing. I think we all can appreciate this, and we've all experienced it. But you boys and girls, do you like it when your parents, your mother and father, would come to look to see what your room is like? You don't like it, do you? And those of you who are smiling, the adults, you didn't like it either. You wouldn't want them to find out. You don't want them to find those things that maybe you have taken that you shouldn't have. So you would, as I used to do, lock my door. If I can keep my parents out, then that would be the best thing. I didn't want them to find out. Now, this is the state of our hearts, really. What's our heart like, naturally speaking? Well, let me compare your heart, my heart naturally, to a dirty room that has been shut up for, let's say, hundreds of years. And inside this room, which has been shut up for hundreds of years, there's been no light has come in. It has no windows. No light has come in. And then you think about what's inside. What could be there inside that room? Dirt and dust and cobwebs, every corner of it. 2-inch thick of dust. And no one has ever come in to that room for hundreds of years. And then suddenly, someone comes in. Someone opens a door and light comes in. What happens then? All the spiders run away. If there are cockroaches, they would run away from the light. If someone comes with a brush, begin to brush this place, the cobwebs fall, you scoop away the dust, you clear it all out. Well, that's what we need to happen in our hearts, because that's the way we are, all of us. We have dirty, rotten, fallen natures and evil hearts full of darkness. But the light of the gospel, this is the thing. We didn't think. Maybe you are here this morning and you didn't think. You've not been thinking about your soul. And then you hear these things. And at the beginning you might think, like I used to, when my friends would tell me about these things, you don't want to hear it. This is all negative things. That kind of a thing shouldn't be said in churches. Isn't God love? That's what people would say. I ask you this. Has your heart received this light? Has God ever come and opened the door to let the sunshine of His grace to come in, enter in? Has He began to show you what is there in your soul that needs to be changed? Maybe some of you have seen it, and what you have tried to do, you're trying to fix things. We like fixing things. And not only that, we like fixing other people's things. Some of us are very good at fixing other people's things. And we try to find a way to help them. But what about your soul? My friends, you can't fix your soul by yourself. We need a Savior. We need a healer who will come, who Himself will come and change us internally. And that's Jesus Christ. So that's us. And whatever you may do, you try to maybe do certain things, and it never satisfies. Again, going back to that illustration of a room, you try to find a way. How can I open my heart? How can I let some sort of a light to enter in, some sort of change to come in? And you try different keys, and it doesn't work. You try your best to fit it in, it doesn't work. It must be Jesus Christ who would come. He has a key. He's the one who opens the door of the heart. He enters in by His Spirit and by His Word and brings life and salvation. That's what we need. And so we need to this morning say, Lord, I humble myself. I see this is true. This is about me. It's not about somebody else. I need to be fixed. I need to be transformed. Christ must enter in. Lord, I humble myself and take Your Word. And I desire this gospel to come into my heart and change me. Give me eternal life, Lord. I don't want to live and die like an animal, not thinking about eternal things, just carrying on, trying to do something. My thought is on the car or the some sort of a bank account or some sort of a building. These are the things I'm concentrating on and thinking on, or my children, or my family. These things, my friends, will change and perish, and will be gone. They are not eternal. So think on these things, friends. But then, our time is gone. God leads people to salvation by unknown paths. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Unknown paths. That's the next thing. God leads people to salvation by unknown paths. That is to say, people don't know how to be saved. Now, let me tell you what people think. If you were to go and knock on the doors of this Nonton parade, or go into the streets and begin to ask people questions. Excuse me, how can I get to heaven? I'll tell you, people would say, well, that's an interesting question. Maybe by being good. Have you been good? Maybe by praying a lot and by stopping certain things. Maybe you should be stopping drinking, or stop smoking, or stop certain bad habits. Maybe you should fast a little, give up chocolate for a while. Maybe begin to go to church, go to the synagogue, go to the mosque. That's what often people think. How to get to heaven. But it's all completely wrong. There is nothing in the Bible, from start to finish, about any of those things as a way to get to heaven. You see, this is what God says. And this is what He's saying. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. People don't know the gospel by nature. They must be shown the gospel. And this is what the Lord Jesus has come to show us the way. And how does the Lord do that? He does it by making people begin to feel a sense of their need. But they don't even know what they need.
At times, God begins to stir within your soul, and you don't know what it is. You can't put your finger on it, but you know something is wrong. You're not satisfied at all. But somehow, in wonderful ways, God leads you. He touches you, touches certain points in your heart, and you know, this is God doing it. There's something outside of me. He's touching my conscience. He makes me sense my need. Let me tell you another account. Again, another true account there is. A friend of mine in Scotland told me about this man who's now gone to heaven. But this man was like everyone else, quite fond of life, happy in his life. He didn't know what it was that he was living for, but he was just generally quite a happy man. But something happened, and he began to think, why am I here? What's the purpose? I'm getting up on Monday mornings. I go to work. I'm happy with my work. But there is something that I can't put my finger on that is not satisfying me. I think this is not what I was made to do. Just go to work and be happy with this and be happy with that. And so he kept thinking about this. Again, he had no Christian background at all. But he began to think about this, and he was thinking so much that he became ill. And he wouldn't go out. He didn't want to see anybody. And he just was staying in bed. And so his family got worried for him. And so they phoned the doctor. Doctor, come and see this man. So the doctor came in, and she was a Christian doctor. And so she asked him lots of questions. How do you feel about this? And then she realized, this man is not ill at all. Not physically ill. So she realized this man, his conscience is affected. God is doing something in this man. And so she said to him, why are you thinking about this? Do you think you need spiritual help? You see, this man had his blanket on his head. He didn't want to talk to her or see her or anything like that. Are you perhaps feeling that you need God in your life? As she began to speak, the blanket kept coming down and down and down. And she said, do you know, let me give you an illustration. What if you were hungry? And there was this shop just opposite your house selling bread. What would you do? If you're hungry, you need bread, you need food, you would go across, you'd buy some of this bread, you would have it, you'd eat it. Now there's something inside you, it's made you hungry. And so down the road, there's a church. And it is like a bread shop. A church is like a bread shop. And they're preaching the Bible. They tell you how to arrive safely into heaven. Who is Jesus Christ? Why are you here? And these things from the Bible, very faithfully. So go to that bread shop. And you go. And so this man went to my friend's church and heard the gospel, heard the way of salvation. And is this longing that he had, this sense that God had produced in his heart, began to be fed. He came to love the Lord Jesus Christ, realized that it is Christ that he needs. And so he was saved and served the Lord for a number of years before he passed on to be with Christ. He says, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Is this your experience, friends? I know our time is gone, and I have not hardly scratched the surface of this text. I will lead them in paths that they have known, they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. What a picture that is of us, darkness. We are not really seeing what is going to happen to us. We are not really seeing where we are heading. Oftentimes on the street, you can look at all these people. Where are they going? What's their destination? Well, our soul has a destination. And when you ask people who are not Christians, they don't know where they are going. spiritually. I'm just living my life day to day, taking a day at a time, they would say. But I don't really ultimately know where my soul will end up. But here, God says, I will bring light into their darkness. I will show them. And then the crooked things are straight. What are these crooked things? The troubles. The all kinds of sad things that happen in our lives. And you talk to people. So my husband died. Why did my husband die? My wife died. This illness has come. I have cancer. My child has this problem. And so on. These are the crooked things in life. The things that we can't fix. The things that are out of our control. And what God is saying here, I will make you to realize, make sense of these things. And for the Christian, they experience these same things, but they see ultimately God is above all of these things. That God gives them the grace that they need, the wisdom that they need, the peace that they need. Oftentimes, in the midst of their troubles, they see somehow they manage to float on the top. They don't drown. God is the one who keeps them. This is you. Maybe you're struggling with certain things and you feel you're nearly drowning. Look to Christ, my friends. He is the one who makes the crooked things straight, helps us to make sense with things. And then it says, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. What a thing that is. When God saves, He does not forsake us. He doesn't forsake us. You might think to yourself, well, I'm beginning to search after these things. I want to know more. But what if? What if I fail? What if I sin? What will happen then? And then you might even be a Christian. And maybe you are backslidden. Maybe you're not following the Lord. And you have all these doubts. And you begin to ask yourself, I don't think I'm a Christian. Look at my life. Look at my miserable life. I say to you, do you have even a faith, a small faith, like a grain of mustard seed? If it is true faith in Jesus Christ that He has died for you and you have taken Him as your Savior, then He is not going to forsake you. But seek Him with all your heart. Follow Him now. Maybe today God has spoken to you. Follow Him now. Turn away from your wicked ways and follow after Him. Repent of your sins. Friends, has God spoken to you? You've come this morning. You've not been thinking about the Lord throughout the week. He's been far from you. Your life has been so full of all kinds of things. I've had to do a lot of traveling this week. And some of us will be doing traveling and busy doing different things, studying. And God has been out of our minds, not thinking. Maybe even not reading the Bible, not praying. Well, God is speaking to you and says, I found you today. I'm calling upon you. Trust in my Son, Jesus Christ, who died for sinners. Trust in Him. I will save you and keep you. I will lead you and guide you in the ways that you have not known. And let me say a word to you, believers. Don't try to think that that God has to explain every one of His ways to you. He leads you even in ways that you do not know. The ways that you are not thinking, this is God's way for me. No, God brings you through all kinds of paths, but He always will be with you. He will not forsake you. Don't try to work out God. And try to say, well, this doesn't make sense, what God is doing. It does not make sense to you, like an engine of a car doesn't make sense to me. But it doesn't change reality that it is working. The mechanic knows how it works. And God, who is our maker, knows what He is doing. Well, may God speak to you then this morning. If you are stirred in your heart this morning, seek the Lord. Seek Jesus Christ. Be like that man who was at the beginning full of scorn. But then later on, he was so convicted, he went, found a place, got a Bible, and read it, and trusted in the Savior. Well, may God then work in our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we realize that we have only thought upon some of the words in such a small way, but may thy word speak to our hearts. And may it be a word that will bring life to us, causing us to seek thee with all our hearts. We thank thee that Jesus Christ receives even us, and he transforms all who would turn to him. Lord, bless them, and we praise thee for him who loved us so much that he would die for us on the cross. So we commit our way to thee and ask that as in the coming days of the week, we may seek the Lord Jesus day by day, drawing near to the Lord Jesus day by day, and know his salvation and leading. For Christ's sake, we ask. Amen.